Again, good morning to you. Good to see you this morning. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are in a series of long studies. This will be our fifth message. Tonight will be our sixth. And it's on the subject of God working in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we want to understand that we are not what we are by our own doing. Amen. As Paul said, we are what we are by the grace of God. Paul was a persecutor of the Lord's church. He went into the church at Jerusalem and persecuted the church. The same church Jesus started during his earthly ministry. And in doing so, he was always thought of as a snake, as an awful person. And you can understand why. Because of what he done. He hated Christians. He hated Jesus. He hated the Lord's church. And wanted to arrest them, wanted to kill them. Wanted them gone from the earth. The hatred was deep in his heart for this. And then on his way to persecute Christians more that he had scattered, Jesus Christ stopped him in his steps. Amen. And saved his soul. Making him a Christian. Paul didn't do anything to make himself a Christian. Jesus Christ made him a Christian. Amen. God made him a Christian. And then God told him to go on down and wait, and he would show him what he needed to do from there. God always worked in Paul's life. And this is the reason Paul proclaimed, "I am what I am by the grace of God." It's because God made him what he was. Amen. Paul didn't write the many books of the Bible that he did. The Holy Spirit wrote them through the Apostle Paul. Just as the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through all of the men and women that were used to write the Word of God. All of them were inspired of God. Every word they wrote was inspired of God. Their entire ministry of life was the work of God, all powered by the Spirit of God. We preach the gospel, the greatest message in the Word of God, the most powerful message in the Word of God, can bring grown men who hate God, who hate Jesus, who hate the church and hate Christians to their knees asking God for forgiveness. But only if the Holy Spirit is the power of it. The gospel will never save a soul that the Holy Spirit has not empowered it to do. Amen. It's just words. All of this is just words. The power of it is the Holy Spirit that stands behind it, holds it up, and makes it a reality. He says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Paul's saying, he's talking about spiritual gifts here. A lot of people want to relate spiritual gifts to healing, speaking in tongues, those kinds of things, but they're not. Anything empowered by the Holy Spirit is a spiritual gift. And Paul says, "I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh but by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. They can't. How could they? He's our Savior. Why would we ever call him accursed? Irrelevant. Useless. And that no man can say, excuse me, I lost my place when I moved my glasses. No man can, by the Spirit, no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Remember when Paul was on his way to persecute the Christians that scattered out of the church at Jerusalem, Damascus? Remember what Paul said? And Brother Hammond always told me, this is how you know he was saved. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? No man calls Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And means it. Paul meant it. You mean it. I mean it. Many do it out of their mind. We do it from the heart, don't we? But people don't do it unless the Holy Spirit has saved their soul. Verse 4, now we are the... There are diversities of gifts, but by the same Spirit. In other words, he gives one certain gifts, gives another certain gifts, but it's all one Spirit, all one God, given the same. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Usually I would stop here, but I'm going to read on because I want you to understand something. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all and in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the words of wisdom, and another words of knowledge. But by the same Spirit. Now, stop right there for a second. When people talk about these gifts that's diverse, they are only to the healing and speaking in tongues and things like that, they're wrong. Notice here he talks about the Spirit words give the Spirit giving the words of wisdom to one and the words of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severely as he will. See, I'm of the understanding that we have nothing in any knowledge of the Word of God except that which the Holy Spirit has taught us. I don't give credit to man for teaching you anything. I give credit to the Holy Spirit for teaching you everything you spiritually know. God uses these men. He uses me. He uses other pastors. He uses other teachers. He uses missionaries. But we are tools in the Holy Spirit's cabinet that he uses to teach you. Just the same as I can preach the gospel to a lost person for 20 years, and that lost person will never come to the knowledge of Christ except the Holy Spirit empowered them to. I can also preach the same doctrine over and over and over and over, and you will never get it unless the Holy Spirit blesses you with that knowledge. I've often wondered why there's so much diversity among Christians. These believe this, those believe that, these don't. We can't all be right, can we? I don't know why God does everything the way he does it, but he does it. And he does it, as verse 11 told us, he does it as he chooses to. Why does God call one person to preach and not another? I've seen some very intelligent men that would make great preachers, in my opinion. Their knowledge is so deep in the Word of God. But God's never called them. Why? And I've seen some that get up and we struggle and struggle to get the messages out and make them understandable. And God uses us. Why? Why did God choose to use the weak and the meek of this world instead of the PhDs? As we find when we get to verse 12 and go down, when the Lord starts talking about diversity in the church, we're going to find out that he sets the members in the church as he pleases and uses them as he pleases. I know a lot of people don't see this the way I do, and that's not an issue for me, because I understand that God teaches us all different. Let's go to verse 2. This is where we got down to. Verse 2 says, "You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Verse 3 says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God causes Jesus accursed. But these people that's carried away by these dumb idols, they do." Let's spend a couple of minutes before we get into the meat of this message on this particular scripture talking a little bit about this word accursed. The word accursed means that you're using Jesus as useless, meaningless. He has no value. When, if you are saved by the Holy Spirit, you would never do that, would you? Why not? Because Jesus Christ is everything in your salvation. It is Jesus that was born of a woman. It is Jesus that came to this world and lived under it. It was Jesus that lived the law. It was Jesus that was persecuted. It was Jesus that was crucified. It was Jesus that was buried. It was Jesus that rose again on the third day. It's Jesus that ascended up into the heavens. It was Jesus that sat on the right hand of the Father. It is Jesus that God edified him so much that he gave him a name that's above all other names. It is Jesus that's your Savior. People can talk about once saved, always saved. They can talk about all this stuff they want to. But it is a matter of whether Jesus Christ is your Savior or not. And it's also whether or not you made a choice, decision, turned over a new leaf, prayed a prayer, was baptized, or got some church membership that saved you, or Jesus saved you. Do you see the difference between the two? Well, you're very blessed if you do, because most people don't understand what I'm talking about. When the Lord uses the word Gentiles here, he's not talking particularly about Gentiles. He's talking about lost people. He's talking about people that don't know Jesus Christ. He says, "You know that you were Gentiles." Well, I'm sorry. If you were Gentiles and you're saved, what are you? Aren't you still a Gentile? Sure you are. I believe personally, spiritually, we become the part of Abraham's tree. But we're still Gentiles, aren't we? That doesn't change, does it? He says that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols. See, to a Jew, and Paul, as a Christian, he was still a Jew. And to a Jew, at that time, the nastiest person on the earth was a Gentile. I mean, it's like Americans think about Iranians or Russians or somebody, you know, they're just dirty people. They're not if they're saved, they're brothers and sisters of Christ. But those that are not are mean and nasty people, aren't they? And that's the way that the Jews thought about Gentiles, lost people. In fact, Jews thought that Gentiles had no hope of ever being saved. Paul said, you were carried away unto dumb idols. That's what lost people do. See, they get into idols. So what do? They worship pictures. If you have a picture of Christ, it's a false graven image, okay? It's an idol. Angels. If you have pictures or statues or anything of angels, they're false graven images. Because all angels you see are female, most of them are blonde and very beautiful. Which is maybe people picture angels, but that's not reality, is it? Angels are spirits, aren't they? They don't have bodies. They don't have bodies like we do. They have a form of body, but not like we do. Because in heaven, our bodies will be likened unto theirs, okay? I didn't mean to say they don't have any kind, but they don't have bodies like we do. They can take on our bodies. We saw that in Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't we? But every time we've ever seen a picture of an angel, of an angel in the scripture, it's always detailed them as a male, hasn't it? Gabriel, Michael, the angels always called he. But the truth of the matter is they're sexless. They have no sex. I believe that when we're in heaven, we'll be sexless also. Because we'll be more like angels. Not like them as them, but our bodies. I don't want to preach about that. I want to move on. So the word Gentiles here is not referring to the entire non-Jewish people, but rather what we were before salvation. It's a criticism. Knows he had nothing to say about them. They were carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Because you were led that way by Satan and his angels. His workers. They're the ones that created all this stuff. They're the ones that created all these pagan holidays. They're the ones that's okay with open homosexuality in churches today. They're the ones that's okay with abortions today. They're the ones okay with not paying attention to God's word. And they're the ones okay with saying, well, all people can go to heaven. When all wrong about it all, they're Gentiles. Whether Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter. If they're lost, they're living like Gentiles. Unruly. Nasty, dirty, sinful, because they're lost. Go to Ephesians 2. Before salvation, we were all pagans. All of us were pagans. You worship these things. You worship worldly things. God wasn't important to you. You might have thought he was, but in reality, he wasn't. I'm going to tell you right now, anyone that tells me they're a Christian and debates with me that their work is good, just as good as the work Jesus done, is wrong. Amen. That's calling Jesus accursed. So before salvation, we were all pagans. We all worshiped dumb idols. We were all carried away by our own lust and led by Satan and his angels to do so. You thank God that before the foundation of the world, God chose you to be his child. And you thank God that God predestinated your life. And you thank God that he took care of you until you were saved. He didn't allow your mother to abort you. He didn't let you drive through a telephone pole drunk and get killed before you were saved. God preserved you until the day you were saved and beyond. God has set our bounds, and we cannot pass those bounds. And those bounds are not just our life. Those bounds is every area of our life. People that say that's wrong, don't know what they're talking about, they do not understand the Bible, and I need to pray for them that the Holy Spirit will teach them. Just like I pray often that the Holy Spirit will teach me new things. There's so much I don't understand. Paul spoke of our past. As we were Gentiles in the lost state, just as he did himself. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Stop. Did you just hear that? Who's he talking to? Jews. Let's read again. Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles, see, he's using it as a dirty word. And the flesh, who are also called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Spiritually speaking, they were of Israel, they were Jews. But spiritually speaking, they were not. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what you were, folks. That's what I was. That's what we all were. That's what lost people are today. People without Christ is nothing to God. They can go to church, they can build churches, they can grow churches, and it's all useless and worthless because they call Jesus accursed. Every time somebody mocks what we believe and says once saved, always saved, it's meaningless. They are mocking. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. And you didn't come to that knowledge on your own. The Holy Spirit put that in your heart, gave you a living spirit, gave you the faith to believe, and caused you to believe it. Amen. And it all start right there. People want to think of themselves highly, like they're somebody special. They strut around in these pulpits and they call themselves blessed. I'm glad they call them blessed because the Lord don't. The Lord calls those blessed who are doing the will of God, who are doing the works of God, who are like Paul and say, you know what? I cannot do anything without the grace of God. I can't even preach a message without the grace of God. I am totally worthless without the grace of God. Just like we do when we're saved. And that's what Paul just told these people, wasn't it? Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now you thank God you don't, you know him. Amen. You thank God you have him. You thank God that you're a Christian today. And don't you ever stop thanking God you're a Christian every day of your life. Because you could still be without hope, with no covenant of promises. Yes, we have them. We have them in Jesus, don't we? And we have God. He's our Father. He's our protector. He carries us through every day. Ephesians 4, a few chapters over real quickly. I'm going to try to finish this point. Shouldn't be a problem. I have 10 minutes left. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul writes these words, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk." I'm sorry. If he's talking to us, and remember, the Bible is not of any private interpretation, okay? That means it wasn't for one group of people, not for the other. There are things in the Bible, the Old Testament, that were for the Jews, the Israelites, like sacrifices and altars and things. We don't have those today. Our sacrifice died on Calvary more than 2,000 years ago. That's the last altar that ever existed. You know why? It's the last one we needed. We don't need altars. People that have churches and they have altars in front of them, they don't know what they're talking about. I asked Brother Hammond one time why we didn't have an altar. Had one in the first church I went to. He looked like a big lion coming at me, that big mouth open like he's going to gobble me up. What are you talking about? So what is an altar? I said, well, that was a place you go up and pray. Why do you need an altar to pray? Altars were not praying places. They were places of sacrifice. He says, are we supposed to sacrifice animals in our church? No. And then he told me Jesus Christ was the last altar sacrifice. He was right. He was right about 90% of the time. He was wrong about some things. Yeah, he was. I am too. I have been. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Because every time I find out I'm wrong about something, it's God correcting it. Isn't that wonderful? It's not a shameful thing to be wrong. It's a good thing to be wrong. But he says, let's just start over in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. Gentiles live. Lost people live in their own mind. Yeah, works is part of salvation. When God said it's not of works. How many times does God have to tell people that salvation is not of works before they understand it? See, they're not understanding the Word of God. Amen. When people don't understand that you're saved, you're eternally saved. It's not once saved, always saved. It's that you're saved and you are eternally saved. You're born from above, born again. You can't be unborn, no more you be unborn in the flesh. They live in their minds, not in their hearts. The Holy Spirit don't work in our minds, He works in our hearts. And our hearts works in our mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to the works of all uncleanness and greediness. See why greediness and lasciviousness is not something we as Christians ought to have? That's the works of the lost people. We are to be gentle, meek, kind, honest, working for the Lord. Take away what you give me and it's fine. I could care less. I'm not here for what you give me. I'm here for the Lord. My father-in-law pastored many years without a paycheck or any help from the church, because we had a building payment and land payment had to be made. It was taking most of the money we had coming in. I felt sorry for him. I was making like $250 a week taking care of a family of four. I couldn't help much, or would have. In fact, he was helping me. Treating churches don't need to get themselves in debt. You may wake up one day and not have many members giving. It might have to do with little. Lasciviousness and greediness. Give unto God what is God, and unto the government what's the government's. Philippians 3. We are not those people. Those people act like Gentiles. They're lost. They're dirty, they're nasty, they're unsaved, they're ungodly, and they have no hope. The Holy Spirit doesn't work in their hearts. They don't know the Word of God. Don't call them stupid. They may be ignorant of God's Word, but most of them are PhDs. They have doctorate degrees in college. Very intelligent people. I sometimes call our politicians stupid. I believe most of them are, but they're really not, are they? I mean, I'm sitting here earning a few thousand dollars a year, and they're sitting up there in Congress making millions off of their tricks. They use Congress. How do you think a man becomes president and turns around 2 years after he leaves office and buys a $14 million mansion? He didn't have that $400,000 a year, did he? Anyway, no politics. Philippians 3, verse 4. I got to hurry. I got 2 minutes. Paul wrote these words in Philippians 3, verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I the more, Paul said. Circumcision, the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Folks, he was high and mighty in the flesh. Paul wasn't low. He was a very intelligent man. He was part of the Sanhedrin, they say. And if he was part of the Sanhedrin, that made him intelligent. And Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law. A Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteous, which is in the law. Blameless, he said. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Paul's just so wise, isn't he? He comes up with the most brilliant. The Holy Spirit really empowered him greatly. Amen. God gave him this world that he lived in, that he came from as a Jew. And then God saved his soul and caused him to be a Christian, made him a Christian, and gave him the wisdom to understand the difference in them. And here he's bragging on himself as a Jew, telling us how intelligent he was, and then says, you know what? It was all worthless. Mm-hmm. How was it worthless, Paul? He said it in the very last sentence, didn't he? He says, but what things were gained to me, those counted lost for Christ. Everything I was worthless. Lord says that he takes the wisdom away from the wise to make them wise in the Lord. He has to tear them down to build them back up. Why would God do that? And notice that he tears them down and he builds them up, right? They didn't build themselves, he built them up. You know what? Paul always gave God credit for it. Everything I understood, everything I knew was lost in Christ. Amen. That I may gain what I was. What was Paul? He was one of the greatest men to ever live on the face of this earth in Christ. Let's all stand. As Justin's gone,